Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Welcome. If you are confused, you usually tune into this show and you see Cresta and Iridian and maybe Riccuccino. You do not see those three people today. For some reason, you see me. I'm Phil Lindsay from Grapsody fame or something or rather. But I am here to host the Collision Post Show with Cresta Star as well. Also, Lo is also with us. What's going on, you guys?
Thank you. I said this off live, but thank you guys so much. Rick is sick. Iridian's out doing Iridian stuff, and I think I'm getting sick too. So Phil is going to be our King Collider tonight. We got Lo from Wrestling Wind Down for Bad Bitches Love Wrestling. That's all her. We love her so much. Thank you guys so much for being here. How are you guys? How did you like the show?
I thought the good matches were very good. I thought the short matches were what they were. It's basically just the squashes to get certain people on the card and progress stories. I thought it was a good show for the most part. There was the awkwardness coming straight in of Kevin Kelly not being on commentary. if you guys don't know, there's of course coming from the report that Kevin Kelly was let go based on some online shenanigans.
Sometimes you just need to put the phone down.
Yeah, you know, we can see your tweets, man. Like sometimes that's just what it is. Kevin Kelly was not here, but we still had Nigel and Tony Schiavone on commentary. I did when the show started. I was like, oh yeah, we aren't getting Kevin Kelly.
I mean, I honestly at this point. I would love Mauro Ranallo, but I am with the internet behind. Where's Veda Scott?
Yes, agreed.
I would love to see Veda step in on Saturdays. I'd like to see Mauro too, but you know, Veda I would love to see as a regular commentator on TV.
Where's Ian Riccoboni?
It's a little hot out there, man.
It's a little hot out here, man.
He was in the midst of some of these shenanigans.
I see.
It was hot in these streets for Ian. I'm sure we'll see him again soon. We got Supercard of Honor coming up. I'm sure he's probably going to be on for that. Super hot match announced for Supercard of Honor, by the way. Well, it hasn't been announced, but looks like they're teasing Athena versus Hikaru Shida. Very much looking forward to that, if that is the match.
Me too.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on your toes. I'm a toe stepper.
We saw a lot of progression tonight, though. We saw a lot of matches that were made for the upcoming Dynasty, as well as Big Business. So, yeah. Look at Tony getting his little cards together.
And I'm queen of criticizing. It's 9:20. Where's the women's match? We got one at 8 something, and we got one at 9 something. I love it when they watch our podcast. It makes me feel like a king. Like I'm doing something. Me in particular.
Yeah, we got a lot with women. I think the Tony stuff continues to be really good. Tony is still very funny. But we opened with a very good match. We opened with Bryan Danielson taking on Shane Taylor. This was kind of like a, you know, big powerhouse going up against a smaller wrestler. For big parts of this match, we got to see Shane Taylor put on a lot of offense. Bryan is Bryan, of course, so he's hitting him with the heavy strikes, putting them in a submission hold. What'd you guys think of this match?
I'm not going to hold you. Shane Taylor not taking Bryan Danielson seriously, kind of crazy. And also, I got to get this cheap plug in. If you guys want to tell us what you think, don't forget to send us some super chats, some humper chats. The super chats somewhere around here in this YouTube sphere. You get your comment read on air. And if you send us a humper chat, humperchats.com, our lovely friend Drew will make sure that we see it and we'll read it out to you. I liked how Shane Taylor was just slapping the skin off of Bryan Danielson. At one point, you see just this man's handprint. Like, it looked like you ever seen Lion King where Rafiki hit him with the thing on the top of his head. That's what this man's chest looked like at one point. Just a handprint. It was ridiculous. The match itself was good. It took a million psycho knees to get Shane Taylor down. And it really took Danielson working over man's knee to get him to go down. Lo, what did you think about this match?
Okay, first of all, Shane Taylor was whooping Bryan Danielson like he fined him in the back before they came.
Yes, out. Yes.
That was a lot of aggression in that. I was in for it, you know what I mean? But you're right, Cresta, the handprint was so obvious after the match. Like, obviously you saw it throughout, right? But when the end of the match happened and they were kind of standing there, you know, facing off what's coming up next, I was like, holy moly, like that is Shane Taylor's handprint.
That was pretty funny. I'm not gonna lie. Like, you very rarely see Bryan Danielson get beat up. But yeah, he got beat up. Like this was plot armor tonight.
Yeah, Shane Taylor definitely put him through the paces, but Bryan ended up winning with the psycho knee. Really, really strong match. I think it was my favorite match from this show, which not a big shocker. I think Bryan has been tremendous for Collision. I think adding him on Saturdays was a big help. They definitely needed his star power, definitely needed him to put on the big in-ring performances. So wasn't surprised this was the best match. But afterwards, we got kind of the bigger talking point coming out of this, not to, you know, just go completely away from Shane Taylor having a good match here. We also got like a tease of Lee Moriarty possibly getting a rematch with Bryan, which I absolutely want to see. But Will Ospreay came out at the end and, you know, they had the back and forth. Will Ospreay spoke on how, you know, he was excited to be here again, excited to be in a company with Bryan. Bryan immediately called him out on what he said in the press conference and saying that he is the best wrestler in the world and he wants to see him prove it. So they shook hands afterwards and we officially got the match announcement. Bryan Danielson versus Will Ospreay will be happening at AEW Dynasty April 21st in St. Louis. Man, super excited for that match. I was just sitting here saying on Grapsity, we're getting like a strong like 3 weeks of wrestling to start April, because you're starting right out the gate with WrestleMania. And then the next week we're going to have Windy City Riot. And then right after that, we're getting AEW Dynasty with this match, a dream match. What'd you guys think of not just the aftermatch stuff, but the possibility of this match?
I think this match is going to be so amazing. I saw the girlies online. They're like, should we go? Should we make bad decisions and fly out and go to St. Louis and watch this match? I mean, I think it's going to be an amazing match. And I think these two have such incredible chemistry. And we just saw it with them being in the ring together, right? Uh-huh. So I can only imagine a match at this caliber. But Will Ospreay, I'm telling you, they flew him over here. And he said, I'm going to work every single show until I fly back home. With his little tracksuit on. Tracksuits are running professional wrestling. I'm telling you, they're running professional wrestling. But Will's a little sassy, bruv, huh? Yeah.
It wasn't just a yes, it was yes, bruv. Yep. And as someone from New York who's like, I had nothing to do in the middle of the country, not me, like, how much is a flight to St. Louis real quick? You know, Expedia. Take a little peeksy poopsie. You know, it can't be that expensive. It's not like going to California. I'm not going to hold you. When they first announced Dynasty, I'm like, I don't know. But the more we get matches for it, that match alone, I'm like, I'm sad. I know I was going to watch it at home, but get to see it in person. I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Yeah. If you were one of those people that were trying to hold out and go, maybe I won't go to Dynasty. Looking really hard to hold out on this one. Probably going to end up there myself. So. We do got a super chat from Chuck J. He says, hold up, bad bitches love wrestling? Me too.
Are you a bad bitch?
We do. We have merch. Bad bitches love wrestling. shop.wrestlingline.lv.com.
Period. I like how you had that in the back pocket ready.
Come on, man. You got them plugs ready, man. You got them plugs on deck, man. We got a trios match coming up with the Elite taking on the team of John Cruz, Liam Gray, and Adrian Adonis.
I'm glad you got their names because all I got was John Cruz. Bless your heart.
Hey man, you gotta get their names up there, man, because this was definitely grand opening, grand closing. not much here to write home about this match. It was essentially the Elite coming out, the new Elite of Kazuchika Okada and the Young Bucks coming out. And Okada just basically beat all three of these guys by himself, ended this thing with a Rainmaker, and that was pretty much it. So it wasn't, you know, it was basically just like a way to, I don't even want to say showcase the new version of the Elite. It was basically just a way to showcase Okada.
Yeah, I think Nicholas was in there first. And even before he could do anything with the young man, Okada was like, here's my hand. Let me show you how it's done. And Okada just, like you said, grand opening, grand closing. Abe Simpson, you walked in the door, took your hat off, put your hat back on, and walked out. It was a fine match.
Yeah.
I don't know why Matthew and Nicholas even took their little fancy spa robes off to even get in the ring. I mean, they didn't wrestle, right? So that was interesting. But, you know, there have been rumors about how much Okada is making on his contract and him moving here, etc. Okada's like, I'm getting paid how much? I'll take all of them on. I'm glad he did, though. It was a nice showing. Obviously, we kind of knew what was going to happen in the match, but Okada looked good.
Yeah, I thought he looked great. I thought they had good chemistry, which isn't surprising because they're already friends. If you have not seen it, the aftermatch stuff they showed on Twitter is hilarious. It's basically like a BTE sketch, like 3 minutes of like what BTE would be with like what Okada. And they're walking down the hall and they're like, man, the bastard's back, or Pack or Paka, however you pronounce his name. And then Okada's like, what's a bastard? and Matt tries to explain it. He's like, it's like a fatherless, don't worry about it, it's fine. And so then they get it back in their dressing room, and they're talking, and they're talking about like what kind of cars they're gonna buy with their money, and they ask Okada, and he's like, yeah, Kia. He's like, no, I'm just playing, Ferrari. It's really, really funny.
Not somebody sending me a tweet saying that they should do lines of Matt and Nick Jackson. Hey, just hand this to Okada and tell him read this. And he looks at the paper and says, this doesn't work for me, brother. Like, yeah, yeah, that's all you need. Yeah. That's all you need. Don't worry. If Okarashita don't want to use that, we got it for you, buddy. Don't worry. But this match was, like, really about the post-match. Like, Eddie Kingston coming out, which I did not expect. Eddie Kingston is perpetually mad. And, again, I love Eddie Kingston. And I'm never going to tell him that wrestling is not real. Never. And if you guys do, I'm going to be so mad. Okay? Don't tell him, please. Who else came out?
So Kenta. Eddie Kingston.
Oh, yeah. Eddie, like, I was like, what?
Yeah, so Eddie Kingston came out first because, of course, he got jumped by the Elite on Dynamite. So he came out after the match trying to get some revenge. Did not have the numbers on his side. Then Penta tried to come out and help him out. Penta also proceeded to get beat down by the Elite. And then Pac returned, and he got in a ring as Okada was lifting up the Continental Classic title. Looks like that's probably going to be the match, I assume, for Okada at Dynasty. Probably Okada versus Eddie Kingston. But then afterwards, Pac came down, ran the Elite off, cut his promo, basically doing the Geordie speak of "I'm back." What did you think about not just Pac's return, but the match they announced for Dynamite, which is going to be the Elite taking on Eddie Kingston, Penta, and Pac?
I'm so happy I'm going to Big Business. Put it like that. I'm so happy I'm going to, because that's really some big business. That's big business. If that's not the main event, then I better see the Monet at the main event. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Lo?
Why did Eddie Kingston get beat up in his fitted and his Tims?
Yeah.
It's Saturday. Can we just not? I'm looking forward to the matchup at Big Business. We'll see how the teamwork kind of goes together. You know, Penta and Pac used to team together, I believe. And that kind of played into that tonight. I'm assuming that's why they brought Pac back so early, because
his promo just
aired, it seemed like, yesterday. And now he's back. So I wasn't expecting him to come back this soon, but glad to see him back. We'll see how he gets along with Eddie Kingston. I don't know how that's going to work. We'll see. Yeah,
Eddie Kingston's a changed man. Look at the range, man. You know, like, he's changed. He hasn't changed completely, but he's changed a little bit. Just a little bit,
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to get along. Just excited Pac's back. Excited to see Pac get into some singles match. Now that Ospreay's here, that's the match I want to see, Pac versus Ospreay. I'm sure Ospreay is going to have a very busy dance card this year, but definitely want to see that match at some point this year. Wouldn't be mad if that's the match for Wembley as well, because Pac wasn't on the card for All In last year.
Wouldn't be mad at that either.
We've got another super chat from Tronin. He says, "I bought second row pre-sale tickets for Dynasty. Definitely worth it now with this Danielson and Ospreay match." Oh, for sure.
You got the money's worth.
You got in immediately.
I hope my muggle job gives me the days off. But if they don't, you know, PTO, prepare the others, because I'm going.
We got the first women's match on the card tonight. We got Mariah May taking on Trisha Dora. Was very excited to see Trisha Dora's on this card. Big fan of hers. Mariah May has been killing it with AEW. And this was another really good match from her. We got more Tony shenanigans before and after the match. But this was really a good showing from both women. I thought Mariah May, every time they put her in these kind of matches, she shows just how good she is. Her strikes look really crisp. Her moves flow really well. I think if you thought she was just going to come in and do like the character stuff with Tony, she shows every time that she's like really, really good in ring too. What'd you guys think of this match?
Agreed, Phil. I thought it was a really good match. Like you said, I feel like Mariah May, even though, you know, she's doing the little cosplay with Toni Storm and doing the little shenanigans, where she gets in that ring, she means business. Don't know if she means big business, but she means business. I was a little bit upset they didn't give Trish an entrance, but
yeah,
I'm glad that she was on Collision just to begin with, and that we had two women's matches tonight. I gotta say, Nigel McGuinness, baby. Why do you have to simp on commentary for this woman? I mean, last week he fainted because she blew him a kiss, and I respect it, right? But this week he's just simping the whole time. I'm like, sir, you got to relax a little bit. He's talking about how he had to take blood pressure medication before he even came out here to watch the match with her.
I will say, Lo, every week me and Iridian always talk about how Nigel McGuinness is a hater, but Nigel McGuinness got two modes, hate or horny. There's no in between. He's either calling Bryan Danielson a clam digger or some other version of a child of God, or Mariah May come out here, or Toni Storm come out here, and this is Nigel McGuinness. Oh, Hey, bro, calm down, bro. I'm trying to lie. I'm telling.
Yeah, Nigel's great on commentary. I think he's definitely been a godsend for them on commentary with the mess of starting out having Kevin Kelly on commentary. But I think he ended up coming in and basically stealing show, being like the main character on commentary.
Well, he's a hater. Like at this point, him and Christian Cage are player haters of the year. Followed closely in third by Stokely Hathaway, because Stokely tweets and deletes apologies. And that's what he said. I didn't say that. I didn't make that up.
Yeah, Big Stoke. Big Stoke is definitely in the running for Hater of the Year. But there's so many other people that are ahead of him at this point. I don't know if anybody's going to beat out Nigel at this point. Nigel's been hating
Christian
on
Christian Cage is a hater. He gave the address to a cemetery to somebody whose dad that died. So, hey. AJ Styles took a flight to Australia to a car he was not even on to make sure somebody else lost. That's hate.
Hey, you know, might have to catch a flight, you know, some light, just hop through and hit my man with a chair, you know. Hop back on this red eye and head back to Atlanta. It's all good.
I think we need to make that a Fightful Award. Play a hater of the year.
Oh, man. But afterwards, we got the official Tony Awards ceremony. Tony with an I so that they don't get sued. Tony came out with Luther and gave basically the category for the Tony, and it was only one person in the category, which was Mariah May playing Toni Storm. And then she proceeded to give Mariah her award. Mariah was running up the ramp. Then she got interrupted by Deonna Purrazzo coming out again. Deonna Purrazzo then proceeded to get beat down by Tony and Mariah. And it looked like Mariah hit her with the pourquoi on the ramp. Was she that did. The pourquoi?
Mm-hmm. Racist yeah, impact.
Yeah, man. Listen, I think if you're one of those people that are like a big diva fan, Mariah's always feeding those fans. So I'm sure they were sitting at home like, yes, Marie supremacy. but yeah, I thought all of the stuff after the match was really funny. I thought Tony doing the award ceremony, and then again, even the after stuff that they showed on Twitter, where they had Mariah on screen accepting the shoe as an award, and
got the award being a shoe, and it didn't even spray paint it gold. It was just a black shoe on a black box.
It was just a shoe. Mariah is accepting the shoe, and Tony is doing like her reporter interviewer voice while she's trying to pretend to interview her. It's all very, very funny.
Comedy, clownery. And, I mean, I guess you could call it carny, but are you calling it carny? Or are you a hater? Because that's hate. That's hate. Look at yourself. Do you see Nigel McGuinness? Because that's hate.
You know, I was a little bit worried about where Deonna was going to go after she lost at the last pay-per-view, but it's looking like she will probably get a rematch, maybe at Dynasty against Toni Storm. I mean, unless there's other plans in the cards, I feel like these two are probably going to go at it again, but I would assume there would be a stipulation this time. I did see some people talking about maybe a submission match.
I mean, I'm not going to hold you. That ain't what Tony wants. That ain't what Tony wants. That ain't what Tony. I know Tony will probably win if I'm being smart and using my wrestling brain, but that ain't what Tony wants. I would love to see a three-way submission match between her, Tony, and Monet for if she allegedly is calling a big business. You know what I mean? I know Monet got the submissions in the back pocket, so that would be fantastic. But then again, we're leaving out Serena Deeb and. I'm a Deeb stan. I'm sorry. She's so good. Serena Deeb is so good.
Yeah. Serena was not on this episode. I thought it was very interesting. After the stuff happened on Collision, Deonna tweeted out, oh, we're using a numbers game. Maybe I'll have to get some numbers of my own. And so I was thinking, like, what does that mean? Is she going to call up Deeb? Is she going to call somebody else that she's had a relationship? Maybe Taya Valkyrie?
I saw some people say Britt Baker. Somebody posted a picture of Britt Baker and Deonna backstage at the last pay-per-view. And I was like, uh-oh.
They are friends. They are very good friends. So
Her and Taya did a lot of times together in TNA Impact, mm-hmm. so I could see that too.
Yeah, I think Britt Deonna makes a lot of sense. I think because Serena's on Collision a lot, she makes a lot of sense. I don't know, maybe one Thunder Rosa, who has also been angling for a title shot as well. I don't know, there are options.
Who wins then? Because I mean, if that's the case, Mariah May is definitely taking the pin. Who wins then?
Yeah, I don't know what this is setting up. Either setting up the tag match. I would assume that Deonna's going to get a match with Mariah at some point as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, it's a lot of options. I am going to assume maybe it's going to be either Serena or Thunder Rosa because they're both on Collision regularly.
I'm betting it's more Thunder Rosa.
Yeah. I'm betting it's Britt Baker. The DMD has been too quiet.
I thought she was out injured or taking time off, one of the two.
I thought she was injured as well, but she's been. I feel like she's been tweeting a little couple things lately. Makes me kind of side eye her a little bit.
She's ready to make her in-ring return. She's letting y'all know.
I feel like she is. She's been too quiet.
Yeah. I don't know. I know that at one point she was injured. I don't know what her status is. So, I don't know. Could be asked. A few people could show up. Who knows?
Either way, I'm going to be sports entertained. I can't wait.
Trying to double check that I'm not skipping over anybody's super chats before I move forward.
I'm still upset that Toni Storm was like, it's the Tony Awards with an I, so we don't get sued. And also, shout outs to production. Deonna Purrazzo hit her so hard, got the color back into her. I always thought that was so funny.
Listen, man, you got to be careful, man. You don't want people suing you. We just don't want anything. We want to cover our bases, you know. Just want to make sure it's Tony with an I. Just so you know. Not Tony with a Y. Not Tony with an E. There are a lot of Tonys in
AEW. They could have done Tony.
So a lot of Tonys over there in AEW. Mm-hmm. They could have. we do have two super chats. Got one from Johnny Big Man. He says AEW Double or Nothing trios titles, BC Gold versus the Elite versus Death Triangle, Phoenix backed by May 1st, three sets of brothers, New Japan connections, the Elite hate fire. I wouldn't be mad at it. This sounds like a great match.
It is a lot of wrestling.
Not in a bad way. Not in a bad way, but that's a lot of wrestling. Respectfully.
Yeah, so it's a lot of wrestling. I'd be here for it. You got time to build that one up. That's way in May, so you know, got 3 months, 2 months. Got another one from Adrian Carpenter, gave us a generous $10. My prediction, Okada versus Kingston at Supercard of Honor. Okada wins. Okada versus Pac at Dynasty. TK said the Continental Crown would be defended at Supercard of Honor. Ooh. I did not see that quote, but that does make sense now that you say that. Maybe Okada will be on Supercard of Honor. That makes that's a very interesting way to get Okada as part of WrestleMania weekend. That sounds like heat to me.
I'm not going to hold you. And as much as I love Eddie Kingston, there will be absolutely no Eddie Kingston slander. I do think having three belts is a tall task. And if you're going to lose a belt to anyone, Okada's not a bad person to lose a belt to. I thought it'd be Danielson, to be honest with you. But Okada, again, is not a bad person to lose a belt to. Oh, my God, I dropped a belt. I'm so crying. You know what I mean?
I have two. I could wipe each eye with one belt.
Exactly. I think I'll go actually be a New Japan strong champion or a Ring of Honor. Is he Ring of Honor champion?
Yeah, Ring of Honor world champion.
Yeah.
When's the last time he defended the Ring of Honor? Listen, again, no sand. I don't want to get beat up, Eddie. I'm sorry. My apologies, Miss Sir. Okay? So, like, when's the last time he defended? I'm asking questions. I'm just asking questions.
The Continental Classic, I guess, technically?
Well, yeah, he technically defended all the belts at the pay-per-view.
Oh, he did against, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, Cresta, there's your answer.
Thank you. I appreciate the information. I'm not asking any further questions at this time.
No further questions, Your Honor.
You're the witness. Why are you saying that?
We got another super chat from Liren 40 says, how do you guys think Mercedes will debut at Big Business? Do we know she's... No, I'm just playing.
Who said that?
I don't know. What do you think, Kristen? How do you think she's going to show up Wednesday night?
Absolutely inserting herself into the title scene. I see some Toni Storm shenanigans go down, and Mercedes is like, I've had it. I've had enough. I feel like there's no other way to put – there's certainly not the TBS title. Nothing against Julia Hart. I think she's fantastic. But big business – I mean, unless you want her, she's not going to fight Samoa Joe. So, you know what I mean? Like, I believe it. I believe it. She's one of those girls. I believe it. But that's not what's about to happen. So it's going to be some Toni Storm shenanigan, and we're going to hear her music, and everyone's going to lose their mind, me being included. And I can't wait.
I have to disagree, Cresta. I really feel like it's going to be a Willow thing. I think they have that history with the New Japan Women's Strong title. You know, they were the two that faced off for that title. Mercedes got injured during the match, and Willow won the championship. I feel like they have unfinished business, unfinished big business, if you will. Ooh. And I think we might see something go on there. Now, do I think that Mercedes is going to go for Julia's title? I don't think so. I think she would probably look more at Willow and Chris and Stokely, kind of see that dynamic and maybe have a couple questions.
Like, why is this bald man telling y'all what to do?
Thank you. During Women's History Month.
Ridiculous. I mean, Stokely Hathaway is a funny man. And every time I think Stokely Hathaway gets out alive, just remember that Chris Statlander ran down that ramp and slapped him in the back of his head. So whatever he does get out of hand, just hit him right in the milk dud. So they kind of have him under control. But yeah, I that's a good shout, Lo. That's a very good shout.
Yeah, I think Lo's right. I think it's going to be more with Willow than anything. Willow is also seemingly in the TBS title picture because she's still feuding with Julia and she's still in the mix with the Sky Blue stuff. So I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means that Mercedes could get introduced into that title picture later this year. I don't know. But I think she's going to open the show, if I had to guess. I do think she's going to open the show. I think she's going to probably open the show with the promo. Because people, like, if you're going to this show, you know that Mercedes is probably pulling up. And that's what people are going to want to see straight away. I don't think it's going to be as drastic as CM Punk chant starting the show. But I do think that crowd...
like CM Punk.
Yeah, I do think the crowd is going to want to see her straight off back. And I think that's a hot way to start the show with her cutting a promo. But I wouldn't be surprised if she cuts a promo. And I don't think it's a coincidence that they announced the Willow match for Dynamite as well. Wouldn't be surprised if she came back out after that match and had maybe a stare down with Willow.
Whew. I do like what you said, Phil. Because isn't she from Boston? Isn't that her hometown?
Hometown. Boston.
That would make sense. Because, like, bro, with CM Punk, when everyone thought CM Punk was going to show up, the moment that crowd is like, we're going to go live all here with CM Punk. Stop playing with me, CM Punk. Stop playing. That makes a lot of sense. You know why you're here. We even put the dollar. You know why we're here. Like, they were chanting Magic City tonight. Magic Monet. Like, stop playing with us. Atlanta crowd, you're a clown for that. You are a clown for that.
Do we get, like, a Mercedes chant to start this thing, though? Like,
Monet, I feel like, flows a little bit better off the tongue.
Hey, Boston, get your rhythm and your chants together. I know it's Boston, y'all are not the most rhythmally inclined, but you know, get your rhythm and y'all chants together.
We want Monet.
Need to get on their Zoom this week and practice. That's what they need to do.
Not the flash mob from Boston. We try to coordinate for you guys.
Coordinate. Get this together, man. Come on.
None of that Dropkick Murphy stuff. Sorry to be a disparage. I'm not welcome in Boston anymore. I'm sorry.
Got another super chat. Hold on. Got a super chat from Adrian Carpenter. He says, TK was asked at Revolution's media scrum and said Continental Crown would be defended at Supercard. Ring of Honor World title is a part of the Continental Crown.
How does that, you know what, I'm not.
You said no further questions, Your Honor.
You know what, you're right. I'm sitting back down. I'm sitting on my hand. You're right. It's wrestling. I'm asking too many questions.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty much all of the Tony stuff. I don't know what this is setting up. I'm assuming it's a tag match. Maybe it's a match between Deonna and Tony, but you know, I'm here for it. It seems like they do more with the women on Collision most weeks. I'm hoping that starts to change. It seems like they're doing more with the women on Rampage. It seems like we're at least getting more backstage stuff when they do show the matches on Dynamite. I was a big fan of the Statlander-Rio match from Dynamite this week. So, I don't know. There's more to like about AEW's women's division this year. I think there's more to be optimistic about. Still a work in progress, but, you know, it's getting there.
Yeah. I don't have anything else to add besides, yeah, because we used to get 920 matches and I don't want to talk too much. And then he's like, yeah, I'll take it away. So
don't want anything to get taken away. We got a Nick Wayne match up next. He took on Adam Priest, not to be confused with another Adam that shows up afterwards. this was pretty much like another short kind of squash match just to get Nick Wayne on the card and to advance the Christian and Copeland stuff. I love Nick Wayne. I wish that they would use him more in this capacity. I know that he's just kind of like the minion number three at this point.
The son.
Yeah. All right. The son number three.
He has a shirt that says, Christian Cage is my dad. That's the shirt he wore down to the... That's crazy. You wearing that in public? You wearing that in public, Phil?
Nah. I'm not knocking Christian's hustle, man. I appreciate what he is doing for fatherless kids all over the world, but you know, nah.
I don't know if you guys noticed, but at the end of the match, he was telling the people in the crowd, "That's my son."
He's very protective of his one son of the group. What you do to Killswitch, whatever you can do,
that's
whatever.
That's the family dog.
But he's definitely the Meg of the family. He's just like, yeah, whatever, like that. Kill switches, whatever, man. Like he's got his new like stand-in as with Nick Wayne's mom that's just like next to him all the time, but not his son. Not too much on his son, man. Y'all be careful how y'all talk about him. but Nick Wayne pulled up the win here. Not really a surprise. But afterwards, we got a guy on a near the barricade holding up a sign. Christian rips it down. It's a guy in a conquistador mask, which gasp, it's Adam Copeland. Adam Copeland ends up fighting him outside into the audience a little bit, gets back in the ring. Then he pulls this box out of nowhere. They don't show us what's in the box. It's kind of like a Pulp Fiction like reveal, like what's in this box. And then he kind of slowly gets out of the ring. Whatever in this box apparently scared Christian Cage to death because he got out of the ring immediately and was like, yeah, nah, we're out of here, guys. Got all of his family. It was like, nah, we're done. Whatever's in this box. It was that scary.
Somebody had tweeted at me, or somebody told me in Discord, what he showed it was a TNA contract. So he's like, I gotta go. I gotta leave right now. Like, I love TNA. It said Spike on it.
It said Spike on the box.
Spike Dudley's corpse. It's a picture. It's a mirror. That's what Christian Cage saw.
I think it was a spiked bat. I don't know why. But I feel like it might have been a spike belt. Maybe I tweeted that maybe it was some spikes, a bat, two Lunchables, preferably the pizza kind. Lunchables.
Oh, my God.
I forgot what else I put. But I feel like he would need a snack, right? Maybe put a little fruit snack in there. I don't know
what was in that box. But I will say that as a newer wrestling fan, I have PTSD about what's in the box because I think of Big Red or
what's in the box?
Eric Redwood, I forgot what they changed his name to in WWE, but the whole box thing was just like a spider and it was nothing and then it got crushed and it's going to be let down.
Oh, I forgot about that whole Eric Rowan thing. I completely forgot about the Rowan thing.
That's why I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't, if it's a bat, okay, but why do we need the bat in the box? And are you going to drag this box thing? Please. I have PTSD, okay, please.
Yeah, but this was all to set up the rematch for Copeland in Toronto for the TNT Championship. It's an I Quit match. Of course, we don't get a stipulation match and an introduction into an I Quit match without the challenger going, I'm going to make you say I quit. And that was kind of the close of the segment. I'm here for it.
We're going to skip over the eyeshadow?
No, he had to dark out his eyes so you wouldn't know it was him. It was because at first my friend was like, ain't no way that's Adam Copeland. He's too agile. And then he ripped off the mask and there was a way it was Adam Copeland. You had to hit him with the bamboozle.
Yeah, no. That's a good shot, Greg. Maybe it's all of their poofy shirts and stuff from the Brood era. It's like all of their outfits and stuff from the Brood era.
He saw a gay girl. The boss was like, hell no. I gotta go.
Oh, no. No, I'm out of here. But yeah, he had the eyeshadow all around his eyes because he wanted to complete the disguise with the conquistador mask on. I guess, like, if you saw, like the skin around his eyes, you would have been like, oh, no, I know those wrinkles anywhere. That's Adam Copeland. Like, what? Wait a minute.
That might be Penta. Penta just came out.
Well, you know what was interesting? I guess Adam Copeland was there for a while. He actually had a sign during the Mariah May match that said, I want Mariah May to be, or I want to be Mariah May's ex-husband. And he did not show his face. And I didn't realize that until I went back on Twitter and someone was like, he was there the entire time. He was holding his sign. I was like, look at him.
He's doing the work. He's out here doing the work. Come on. Cage Cope 3. I'm excited. That's what he
Cope.
Said.
Cope hanging out the entire time, having a Mariah May sign up is great. I don't know what your wife might be thinking about that. Might have some explaining to do, but, you know, I appreciate the dedication.
That's what the Glamazon.
Listen, I want no parts. Nothing but respect for the Glamazon because she could pick me up and put me down. So nothing but respect.
Man, when Copeland debuted, I was like, all right, but what is his wife doing? What is her commitments? How long is she on this contract? Because listen, if we could somehow get Beth versus Chris Statlander, give us that match, man.
Oh, my God. Bro, Beth versus Willow would slap. Come on, literally. Bro. Beth versus Thunder Rosa would slap. Ugh. Why would you put that in my head?
What's she doing over there? I don't see her on TV over there. I don't see her on commentary anymore. How long is this contract, man? Are you still interested in doing some wrestling, Beth? What's up?
Nothing but the utmost respect for the Glamazon, but in the words of Rihanna, where have you been at? I ain't see you around. I'm sorry, I'm doing too much. My apologies. I don't want to get sued.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, this was fine. It was like basically a squashing match. All of this stuff was basically to advance and get us to the rematch in Toronto. And I'm excited. I do think Copeland is going to win the title in Toronto. They're not going to give him the whatever 30-second title run.
Yeah, they don't need to do that again.
No. What did you guys think of that finish at? Was that Full Gear? Or no, that was at World's End. Sorry.
It was at World's End.
Where he won and then he lost. Oh, because the dumb dinosaur? Yeah. Oh, man. At first, I was memeing, and I said he's a dinosaur, and dinosaurs' brains are really small. You know, they don't have all their functions, so of course he was confused. But now I'm just like, turn on him! Don't be Wardlow. Don't turn on him when it's too late and nobody cares.
Don't be Wardlow. Yeah, I thought he was going to turn on him after the Chicago show because he got a lot of Luchasaurus chants that night. It looked like he was turning babyface after that, and then he ended up winning the match to get a title shot, and he was like, nope, I'm just going to give it back to my dad. Okay.
Which to me makes no sense. And I bring up the Wardlow comparison because I felt like they were having Wardlow being son to MJF for a little bit too long. And by the time Wardlow won, we didn't care. And I think Wardlow even referenced that he had a rocket to his back. And then when he finally got what he wanted, that rocket turned upside down and put him right back in the trenches. And I fear the same thing will happen to Killswitch. We want you to turn on Christian Cage, but by the time you do so, now we're on to Adam Copeland, you know? I just turn on him. No one's going to care because he's a bad person. It's fine. Turn on him.
Listen, it's fine. This guy has mistreated you a lot. It's all right.
Bite him.
You can move on. I don't know if you're waiting for Jack to come back. Maybe you're confused.
Maybe for his jungle man. That's what I'm thinking. From a boy to a man.
Save Jack from this House of Torture shenanigans that he's doing in New Japan, because I don't know why he's doing that. You guys need each other, man. Just
Cry him a river. Real torture. Cry him a river.
Come back together. But I fear that he's going to leave Killswitch with his dad and join the Bucks and Okada. I feel like that's what Jack's doing. I'm not going to
hold you. That would be too funny. That is... Him joining the Bucks and Okada, oh man. You want to talk about a wrestling meme? Not afraid to reference or not reference? Oh man, that's shenanigans.
There's too much that makes me think that. Him ripping up the contract when he went to New Japan, and now the Bucks have power that they're using on television. I think they're gonna rehire him and bring him in as a member of the Elite.
Too funny.
Which, you know,
too funny.
I don't think that's how contracts work. I don't think you could just tear up a contract and now it's void.
No, they have multiple copies.
I'm sure there's one on file. I think it's fine.
In fact, I have it on my Excel. You want to see it?
I'm sure there's a digital copy somewhere. It's we're not just relying on paper copies no more.
And we saw you rip it up on TV, so we've got the evidence. I don't.
Yeah. I don't think that works, Jack, but I feel you. Yeah. we got a few more matches left, but before we get into those, I'm going to hit a word from our sponsors.
Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about betonline.ag, the official betting partner of Fightful. It's not just an online platform. They've been trusted. BetOnline.ag is the official betting partner of Fightful. 100% of the time when you get the odds from Fightful, they are coming from BetOnline.ag. And it's not just wrestling. It's not just MMA and boxing. It's football. It's basketball, baseball, hockey. They have the earliest lines. You can bet big with the high limits and rebet functionality. They have the fastest payouts with winnings paid in minutes and the industry's best bonuses on every qualifying deposit. They've been trusted for 25 plus years. It's not some fly-by-night company. BetOnline AG has been there. They've done that. In addition, they're trusted by millions. They've got VIP rewards programs and a ton of popular games. BetOnline.ag, that's where I go to make my bets. That's where I suggest you go to, my friends. Please just bet what you can and bet responsibly.
Please bet responsibly.
I was going to say the same thing. Pay your rent. Pay your taxes.
Listen, I know you guys think those parlays don't add up, man. But they do add up, man. Just throwing all these parlays in once a week and then you're looking around and you spent more money than you should have. Please bet responsibly, guys. But if you do want to bet, betonline.ag is the place to go. I love that Lois just sitting there like, yeah, as somebody that's from Vegas, like, don't be one of those guys that's just hanging out.
Yes,
on this trip.
Don't. I feel like you look like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air meme where he's in the living room with no furniture. You bet all your money. Don't do that.
Don't be one of those guys just wandering around the strip. Don't do that.
No. I used to work at Duane Reade, and to see some of these people come in, win $20 with the scratch off to reinvest, that's lunch right there. You know, take your $1, $20, that's it. Bet responsibly. Pay your rent. Taxes April 15th. That's right around the corner. Pay your taxes. So free advice.
Listen, man. There's two people in this world that always win when it comes to money. The house always wins. Casinos are going to get their money back. And the IRS is going to get their money. Those two houses always win.
Unless you're super rich and you've got a really good lawyer. And even then, Wesley Snipes still went to jail. Even Fat Joe, who paid back his money, went to jail. Pay your taxes, please. I'm sorry. There's no way to transition from that. I'm so sorry.
Now lost my place on the dock, so I'm trying to scroll it back and play to get where I was.
We're at Lionheart, Chris Jericho versus T-Tan, if it helps.
We're up with Chris Jericho taking on T-Tan. T-Tan, of course, from CMLL, also from New Japan, member of Los Ingobernables de Japón. Clear my throat. It's all good. We're still here. T-Don was great here. I think Jericho is really good against the Luchadors. There were a few hiccups in this match, but I thought it was a solid match overall. I thought it was a good spot for T-Don. I thought Jericho doing the Lionheart stuff is hit or miss for me, but I enjoyed this match. What'd you guys think?
I could have gone without seeing Chris Jericho on Collision tonight. But I love Teton's mask with the rhinestones. It was great.
Yeah, he had the fire jacket on as well. I like Teton.
Slander. I'm always here for the Chris Jericho slander. He ain't do nothing to me. But I low-key like it. Like, you know what? If I never hear Fozzy again, I'd be happy. I know Queen of the Ring hates Judas. I love that song. It's on my Spotify. It's not even a joke, but I don't know. Chris Jericho hate is always funny to me.
Yeah, I like the Lionheart theme. I think the Lionheart theme is a little bit better than Judas at this point. I think I'm just kind of burned out on Judas. But
I feel like Judas helps him get more reaction, though, because you have the people who, you know, rise up and sing the song for however long it plays for. And then you have the select few, myself included, who will sit down and watch the people sing.
Yeah. You and Queen of the Ring are holding hands in solidarity. Every time Judas come on, like, I'm not standing. I don't know. I agree with you there. Like, Judas does get the crowd, gets the people going, if you will. This match itself was really good. Like, I never have a complaint when it comes to Chris Jericho's matches. Sometimes I have a complaint with his presentation. And I just feel like it could be forced, if that makes sense. Like, the matches are fine, and what he says, for the most part, the contents are great. But, like, sometimes I'm like, is this the best use of Chris Jericho? Could we have put somebody else in this situation? Could we be using Chris Jericho to further this storyline? I get that you wanted to get him a win. And honestly, T-Town was really, he was smooth. I thought he was very smooth. Mm-hmm. The double, I think it was the moonsault when he did the springboard from the top rope to the middle rope, back to the top rope. That was very creative. And I don't, like, the only other person I think I see do that is Sammy Guevara. And even then, he doesn't do it like that. That's, I'm a little annoyed that he lost, but, you know, you can't have it all.
Yeah, can't always have it all. I, for the most part, Jericho's matches usually deliver. Sometimes they're a little overindulgent. But I think for the most part, his matches with the Luchas have been good. This match was pretty solid. I think, like you said, T-Ton ended up stealing the show for most of this match for me. He hit some really good spots here. There were some really cool near falls towards the end of the match. But Jericho ended up picking up the win with the Walls of Jericho. Then afterwards, we got some more shenanigans with, for whatever reason, Gates of Agony has just had enough of this guy. Keeps doing get a chance. Had enough of Chris Jericho.
They felt came the out, way Lowe was feeling.
They felt the way that he was booked on this card, I guess. And they were like, nah, we could have had a tag match. Why is this guy here? And so they jumped him after the match. And that prompted AEW to send Hook. Hook came down with the kendo stick and ran the bad guys off. And they did the respect stare that they do, wrestlers do. And that was kind of it. It seems like they're either building to the Hook tag match with Jericho going against Gates of Agony, or this is a long-term build to a Jericho and Hook feud, which...
Now that I have come.
Tex not teach his son to not speak to strangers?
I mean, honestly... Taz is up there with Father of the Year. I saw Samoa Joe use this young man. And if that was my son, commentary would be, damn, you getting jumped. You're not going to use my son like that. In front of me, in front of the commentary table, I don't know. So maybe what Taz said isn't sticking. I don't know.
Say it again. Write it. Send him a card with it. I don't know. I tweeted this earlier. It does not make any sense as to why Jericho is like hooking on to Hook. Yeah, we'll roll with that. I don't understand. I don't understand the dynamic. What are we doing here? You have Taz as your father. You don't need another father figure if we're going that route. You have Taz. Come on now.
The human duplex machine. He's literally in an apartment building, according to Tony Storm. Like,
I asked for Team Taz to be reunited. I didn't ask for Chris Jericho to be involved. So we need
JAS 2.0 just for you, Lo.
Oh.
No, please no.
Please.
I'm very torn because after we got the Joe match earlier this year, I felt like, all right, do more with Hook, man. Get him on TV, get him in some storylines. So you are putting him in a guy that is regularly on TV, that is a big star for the company. Why did it have to be Jericho, though? Like, we've seen what this has done for other wrestlers getting caught in the infamous Jericho vortex. I don't know, man. I can't say that I'm excited for the chances of a Jericho-Hook tag team or even a Jericho-Hook feud, but this is where we are. Come on, Taz, save your son from this.
Save your son.
Yeah.
give him some advice. I mean, they, like most Jericho feuds, they're Jericho tag teams. It started with some interesting stuff. I thought Jericho cutting a promo Wednesday and saying, you know, he has history with his dad because that was his first match on television with ECW, and he dumped him on his head. And then, you know, of course, Hook dumped him on his head again in pay-per-view. So now they are linked. But... Ah, man, like, I don't know.
I agree with the vortex thing. I agree. The Joe stuff was great. And I'm willing to look past Hook being lean beef to add him to the meat division. He could be turkey bacon, you know? He could be turkey bacon.
Lean beef.
He could be a turkey bacon, but I don't want him with Jericho. That's moldy bacon. He could be the turkey bacon of the meat division. Turkey bacon slaps. I don't eat pork. So all I know is turkey bacon. Leave me alone.
Can't say that I have high hopes for this, but at least Hook is on TV. At least Hook is doing things. So I'm going to try to reluctantly hope for the best. I don't think that I'm going to be wrong in my suspicions about where this is going, but... we have a super chat. Let's just move on to our super chat. We got a super chat from Shadow C. He says, Cresta, can I be your ex-baby daddy / ex-husband?
Well, funny you should ask that. On my personal channels, you can find me on Twitch or TikTok, Cresta Star. We get these types of questions all the time, and I do, much like Lo, have a corporate answer. That sounds like a consultation fee question. You can go ahead and send $444 over to Cresta Star, and that'll guarantee you 40 seconds to 4 minutes of my time until you annoy me. And then we can consult on how this would go down, and then you can actually pay the fee. The consultation fees are non-refundable. This way you don't waste my time and your time. Thank you so much for your question. I will not be answering that on air. Next question, next match. Thank you, is the wrestling show.
Good job.
Listen, I'm so serious about my $444 consultation fee. I don't want you to waste my time and yours. I'm trying to go to Dynasty. I'm going to Mania. So think about what your consultation fee could do for us, the collective, the group. Super chat, Humper chat, # Crest the Star. We appreciate your super chats. I am not taking applications at this time. Thank you so much.
Listen, if you like Shadow C, also want to send your super chat. You can get your last few super chats in. We get into the last two matches and segments. Also, humperchats.com/Fightful.
Be like Okada and make it rain.
Hey, amen.
I don't know why when you said that, all I heard was Kenny Omega, like, let's hear your money cry. But that's...
Why the money crying?
Because your Chase account
is leaving their wallet.
Why is it crying?
Okay, let's hear your money fly. I hit you. Let's hear your money fly. This is the most unhinged episode of Collision I've ever done.
We got FTR up next. They came out and they gave their sad boy promo after they lost to Blackpool Combat Club at the pay-per-view. you know, they are fixtures on Collision, so it was good to see them come out and address the crowd. They talked about joining the fray for the upcoming tag team tournament. They talked about insecurities coming into it after their loss. I thought it was a good way, not just to introduce the tag team tournament, but also, you know, just to give them the storyline moving forward. Because I do think they're going to get the rematch with Black Bull Combat Club in the tournament. Would not be surprised if they win this time around. But I think, like, the setup for this feud has been really good. But we got a surprise, and Denver Tree coming out to address them afterwards. Really happy to see Sean Deeb and Carly Bravo getting their due. They also on Rampage. They got a really good video package on Rampage to introduce people to them as a tag team. But I thought this did a better job of introducing them as personalities and just kind of getting to see straight away what makes Carly Bravo so great outside of his in-ring work, because he was very, very funny here. They came out and he, of course, gave a Magic City reference straight away because they were in the city of Atlanta. And he says, "We almost didn't make it because it was half off at Magic City." And Sean immediately cut him off because Sean is a family man. Cannot be doing that. But I thought this was great. What did you guys think of the segment as a whole?
If you don't know what Magic City is, I don't know what to tell you. Sorry, go
ahead.
That's
what I was going to say. That's what I was going to say. Please Google it if you do not know what it is.
Magic City is like Party City for adults.
They do magic there. Nyla Rose was there. She was, you know, she was experiencing the magic tricks that they do at Magic City. Mm-hmm. So maybe they'll do like a little AEW Magic City partnership or something. No.
Why the first thing I thought of was like, well, AEW do got that AEW heels thing. It's like, Cresta, knock it off. Knock it off, Cresta.
AEW heels at Magic City sounds absolutely insane.
It is Women's Empowerment Month, and no matter what you do, you can be empowered. And honestly, I don't have anything constructive to add to this conversation, so you know what?
I will say, the infantry was throwing a little bit of shade. They said, we're trying to revive, give a revival to the tag team division. Mm-hmm. And then Sean Dean with the vocals, he had to show us a little bit of, you know, throwback to the revival interest in WWE. I was like, ooh. Okay, y'all coming out here finally on Collision. I was so glad to see them as well, Phil. And I was like, ooh, they're going to get sassy with it. A Magic City chant from the audience.
Atlanta,
I feel like we need to note that somewhere.
I love that. I feel like I could see that at Wale Mania, not on AEW Collision. But the fact that it happened at AEW Collision, I imagine Tony in the background, what's Magic City? And someone's like, oh, Tony, come here, buddy.
I don't believe you, Tony Khan. I believe you know what Magic City is.
You know what Magic City is.
You've been around too many people with money. You've been in the city of Atlanta.
Don't he own the Jaguars? Like,
yeah, you have a football team. I don't believe you if you tell me you don't know what Magic City is, Tony.
Yeah, I don't believe you either. You can act all innocent, but I don't believe you.
But yeah, I thought this was a good segment for FDR. I thought it was a good way to bring in Infantry. I thought with them being here and also Trisha Dora being on the card, I was very happy to see the three of them. But, you know, quick way to progress the stuff for the tag team tournament. Very much looking forward to them announcing the bracket for that and seeing some of the matchups. We got two matches left. We got a quick match with Mystico taking on Angelico. I thought this was a very fun match. I don't think we see enough of Angelico on AEW television. A, because his theme song is fire, and he's just a fun wrestler to watch. He does all the flippy doos. He comes out and does his little dance with his bucket hat. He's great. what'd you guys think of this kind of quick and short, to the point match with Mystico?
It did the job. It did what it was supposed to do. I did see that, I guess, Angelico has been having really good Ring of Honor matches. So a lot of people are saying it's good that he's kind of moved to Collision, you know, this one night and had that match kind of showcase the stuff that he's been doing on Ring of Honor. Now, maybe people will go join the Honor Club now that they see what is going on over there.
Yeah, of course, you know, if you did not follow Infantry, they were also a big part of Ring of Honor as well. So yeah, I don't know. I thought Angelico had a good performance here. Mystico has benefited the most out of all the CMLL guys that's come over. He's had four really good matches so far. I thought this was a fun match. But yeah, not that much to write home about. It was just kind of a way to get both of these guys on the card and kind of fill a spot right before the main event.
I'm going to be real with you. Most of this match took place in a picture-in-picture, and then it went straight to the commercial. So I said, let me lie down on my couch. And when I got off my couch, the match was over. I have no notes. Sorry.
Yeah, it was pretty quick and to the point. But it was fun for what it is, you know? We made friends along the way.
Yeah. Wrestling.
But we got a absolutely insane main event. Just looking at the wrestlers in this main event, at first when this was announced, I was like, wait, that's the main event? Like, this is a real match? Like, what is this? For the main event, we got the House of Black taking on a team of Mark Briscoe, Jay Lethal, and Double J himself, Jeff Jarrett. This was an entertaining mess of a match. I was very sports entertained by parts of it. What did you guys think of this trios match to end the night?
Shout out to Nigel McGuinness saying BBQ Briscoe. That's the main thing I remember from this damn match.
I love
BBQ
Nigel.
BBQ Briscoe. Like, bro, you're... This was a great match. It was everything you thought a Jeff Jarrett... This is overbooked. It's exactly what it needed to be. Karen Jarrett came out in gear, and for a hot minute, I was like, who you gonna wrestle? What's about to transpire? And I saw Julia come out. I said, Karen, you about to get beat up by a 21-year-old, please. I know. And she missed her right in the face. Like, you know what? That's fine. Don't beat up a senior citizen, Julia. Your record is clean. Don't do that. Old boy getting set on fire was crazy. Not Buddy Matthews. Oh, my God. Is it Buddy Matthews or is it Buddy Murphy his old name?
Buddy Murphy's his old name. It's okay, Blood Man now.
It is Buddy Matthews. Okay. When he got thrown off after trying to throw off old Chicken Boy, I was like, this match chicken has boy. Gone off the rails. Like, don't get me wrong, I love the Briscoes, but when he did the flying chicken the first time and just caught Brody King's forearm to the face, I was like, bro, just to have Brody King splash him through the table? Like, this chicken man is crazy. And my friend was like, why does he talk like that? I'm like, no, he's country with a K. Country fried steak country. K. Like, he owns a chicken farm. Like, that's not cat. That's him. Like, that's him. He's that guy. This match was great. I love Mark Briscoe, and I thought he was the star of this match out of the millions and millions of players. Also, not them about to set Sanjay Dutt on fire. And Sanjay Dutt's like, please don't set me on fire. Like, what? A murder? In my wrestling? What is this, TNA?
Now, every time you say chicken man, I think of Dave Chappelle's character in Woo, where he had a fixation on chicken.
I mean,
Chicken Pimp. That's what his name was, Chicken Pimp.
They had a whole match on the Briscoe farm. They literally have a chicken farm, bro. Like, the Hardy family compound, but the Briscoe chicken farm. Like, he's chicken man. He's chicken man.
Chicken man.
The match was madness. I mean, I was there when Mark Briscoe faced off against Brody King a couple collisions ago, so I already knew they were capable of a lot, but geez, this match was crazy. Karen Jarrett, ma'am, you trying to wrestle, girl? What's going on? That was interesting to me because at first I was like, why is she out here? And then I saw the boots and I was like, oh, she means business.
She had on the gear.
Yeah. And then I saw Julia and I was like, okay, hold up now. Who knows what's going on there? I mean, I don't think this is going to be a long-term thing, but it was a fun watch.
Yeah,
I would have liked to see more Atlanta-esque stuff in the match, though. Jocelyn Hernandez was not available to
girl,
do something.
Goodbye, Lo.
And it's Atlanta. Jermaine Dupri. I mean, I know not everyone knew who Jermaine Dupri was when he showed up on AEW before, but gosh, can we get something Atlanta-esque?
It wasn't Atlanta Street Fight, so I feel like we did miss out on some kind of Atlanta themed something.
Is it Rick Ross from Atlanta? Is he? I feel like he's an Atlanta man.
Miami, I think. Yeah, he's from Miami.
Yeah, you could have had who's from Atlanta?
Jocelyn Hernandez.
No, girl. No. Jocelyn Hernandez does not know this is a work.
Benzino.
Rick Ross is from Mississippi. Rick Ross is from Mississippi, so he would have not been in Atlanta.
He, He claims Miami heavy at this point, so he's not. Yeah. He's not doing Atlanta.
No, Jocelyn Hernandez will not know this is a work, and then will actually try to fight Karen Jarrett, and then security is actually going to have to physically pick her up. This will be your fault. If she's on Collision next week, Lo, I'm going to walk to Vegas from New York. Literally. Cool. I got all
that hate. Coast to coast.
Literally, it's going to be me by the time I can see a house like Black and Jack.
doing a Cody walk. Yeah,
a mad toddler. You said no more juice. Well, screw you, Mom.
But yeah, this was fun for what it was. I was entertained for most of it. Briscoe did a lot of really crazy stuff here. I was like, what? He's trying to put on a huge performance. Like, listen, I can still go. I know that, you know, I was known for this tag team thing, but give me a spot, coach. Put me in, coach.
He watched that Darby match a little bit too much.
Put me in,
that's
coach.
That's what happened.
There was a lot going on. Sanjay at one point came in and tried to get Brody off of his friend, and Brody then turned around and was like, nah, that didn't hurt me at all.
He wolfed at him, and that man said...
He barked at this man, and he proceeded to scoot all the way up the ramp. And then, as you said, Bud, Matt, and Julia tried to light this guy on fire, poured gasoline all over him until Karen came out and saved his life by giving Buddy a really, really weak-looking low blow. I was like, wait. But knocked him down. Julia then proceeded to then basically beat them both up by herself.
Julia's the strongest member of House of Black next to Malachi, bro. Like...
Yeah, she just missed it Karen in the face. That pretty much took Karen out of the fray for the rest of the match. And we didn't see Sanjay again after she dispensed of him as well. I thought when Mark did Hulk up at the end of the match and he did get his little comeback going, I thought it was great. I thought his back and forth with Malachi towards the end of the match was good. He ate a big spin kick to the face, and I was like, well, that's the end of the night for him. Nope, still got back up, picked up that big nail or spike, whatever they're calling it, and looked like he was going to use that to win the match. And instead, he got power bombed through a flaming table for his trouble, ended his night. I guess that was kind of the way that we're making this Atlanta, because it was a nod to Atlanta's own Cody Rhodes and his flaming table spot. So I guess that's the closest we're going to get.
I'm not going to hold you.
Lo seems very unhappy with this press.
Lo, what's on your mind, baby? Tell us what's on your mind, because you got a lot.
Nobody from Love and Hip Hop could have showed up. Nobody. Not even Bow Wow.
I can't.
We've seen Bow Wow in AEW before. Like, you had plenty of options, and you had none of them show up. Tony, why even book it as an Atlanta street fight? You could have just called it a street fight.
You could have had the girls from Magic City come over. Could have made a Raw Underground. You could have had the girls from Magic City.
Oh,
Karen's just gonna come out with
chicken
them
wings from Magic City, thrown them in the match. I don't know anything.
Karen would have just walked out with them behind her, walking in formation, and they just all like stood along the ramp as she handled her business.
BTE next week is just Karen Jarrett learning things at Magic City. So what is this called? Yeah, you clack your heels together. I'm a child of God. I've never been to Magic City. You know, a woman of the cloth and maybe a napkin, but a cloth nonetheless. All right. So I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. This match was totally off the rails at some point, but I thought it finished strong. I thought Briscoe came out of it looking great. I thought House of Black narrowly won here, and they ended up looking good. They've been, you know, throwing fire references into all of their promos going into this. So I figured fire was going to come into play. Briscoe took one for the team, getting thrown through a flaming table. We got a super chat from Meat Normus. He says, did Mark Briscoe know this wasn't a pay-per-view match? Jeez Louise, he was supposed to miss the table. Apparently he did not. He gave his all. He wanted the city of Atlanta to be entertained.
Into the chairs, though? Like,
Oh my God, that spot into the chairs.
I think that's the spot he was talking about, because I thought he was supposed to hit the table too. But then when he just landed on the chairs, I was like, you know what? Scoliosis, my bad. I'll never walk again. Oh my God. Oh.
The way he landed, it looked really bad. It looked like he like landed face first and then like proceeded to roll more into the tables afterwards. I was just like, please be safe, friend. Please be safe. Please be okay.
I mean, I'm going to be real with you too. Nothing but the utmost respect for Malachi, because I do feel like they should use House of Black a lot more effectively and that they should be winning. And House of Black should be where BCC is. I'm not saying that BCC doesn't belong to be there, but the way that this group has been presented, they should be beasts. So nothing but respect for House of Black here, especially Malachi, because I feel like almost every time I see him for the leader, Julia is the one picking up the wins and not so much you or Brody. You know what I mean? Unless I'm crazy.
I don't know if it's just me, but I kind of miss them as trios champions. I enjoyed them as trios champions.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. I wish they were trios champions again. Nothing against the Acclaimed or the Bang Bang Scissor Gang, Bang Ass Boy Gang. I don't know what the name, like, whatever. Like, listen, I just make it up because at this point, I'm over it. the way Max Castle be coming out now is how I feel again. I'm just over it. Like, it won't give me the mic. I don't even want to be in this stupid promo. I hate it here. This place sucks.
Yeah, I assume this is building to something with House of Black, though. Maybe they're going to get something against the trio. Maybe this was a way to build up for something for Malachi as a singles competitor. I would hope so. But yeah, that was our collision. I thought it was a fun show. Set up a bunch of stuff for Dynamite, Big Business. Set up some stuff for the pay-per-view coming up. AWC up again. It feels like they're restoring the feeling. It seems like there's more excitement around the product again. And I think it's a great time for the AWs doing well. WWE is also doing really well. So good time to be a wrestling fan.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Who we all seeing at Mania and at Dynasty? It's a good time to be a wrestling fan, but it's a bad time for our bank accounts.
Absolutely. If you are trying to save some money, it's not a good time for you.
Do your taxes now so you have it in time for Dynasty.
Thank you, Miss Cresta Star, our financial advisor.
Listen, that's also a consultation fee of $444.44. If you want more unsolicited advice from I am not a financial advisor, but I'll advise.
The finances.
I'll do something. Something's gonna get done. But I don't know if it's gonna be wrong, but something's gonna get done.
Appreciate you guys as always for sending us your super chats. Coming in and joining in into the madness of our chat as well. Appreciate you guys for having me as your co-host for tonight with Cresta. Of course, Cresta, take it away with where else you can be found later in the week on Fightful's YouTube channel.
Thank you, Phil, for leading this. Again, guys, I'm sounding a little hoarse. Low, thank you so much for being here. Rick and Iridian, hopefully we'll be back next week. Hopefully I'll be alive next week after Big Business and my voice doesn't get
blown
up. Don't
put this in here. You're going to be still with us.
I mean, you know, if I die, I don't got to pay taxes. So, you know, that's how you get out of paying taxes.
Wait a minute. That's the thing you're worried about if you're not here.
It's late, y'all. My brain is boiling. I think I have a fever. You can find me on all forms of social media at Cresta Star, besides X, formerly Twitter, because Elon Musk is a hater and I got banned. So you can find me at Cresta the Star, like Megan the Stallion, every Wednesday and sometimes, no, not Friday, so it's Wednesday. You can find me over on Twitch or TikTok. We watch AEW together. We have the yuck yucks and laughs. There's a link tree in my bio over on Twitter. Lo, where can the people find you and your lovely shirts? Please plug your shirts. Your shirts are great.
Thank you. So you can listen to Wrestling Wind Down wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all of the platforms. You can get our merch. I do have some on right now, Strong Babes for Willow, but we have all types of merch. shop.wrestlingwinddownlv.com. And yeah, we will see you in Philly.
Phil, where can they find you?
Yes, where can they find you, Phil?
You can find me on this YouTube channel sometimes on Saturdays, all the time on Saturdays, I guess, sometimes on Fridays. Of course, Grapsody at Saturdays at noon Eastern time with my friend Righteous Reg. Tune in to watch us talk about other things that are not wrestling related because I feel like a lot of times we go on tangents that have nothing to do with anything. You can also find me on Twitter at PhilDL616. You can find my writing at Bleacher Report.
I think we did it, ladies and gentlemen. Also, don't forget to subscribe to Fightful Select. Best $5 in the business. If we don't plug it, Sean's going to beat us all up. Well, not Lo. She's new here, but me and Phil are going to get jumped by Sean single-handedly. You know, we got interviews. We got stuff coming up. Big business news, you know. There's Ask Grapsity. You don't got to ask now. You can ask Phil now. Super Chat, Humper Chat. But again, subscribe to Fightful Select. I'm done talking, and I feel like I'm getting a fever. So, you know, if you guys are ready to get out of here, I had fun with you colliders this evening.
Absolutely. We collided.
We all collided. This has been Collisions Post Show for Fightful. I'm Phil Lindsay, Cresta Star, Lo. We are out of here. Appreciate you guys.
Bye.
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com. Save big.